Blog Talk Radio.
Better get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is ruling the world.
What you gonna do?
You better get your house in order.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion, and your host is Overseer Janice Lord. I'm so delighted to be able to come across these airways again on tonight, these highways and skyways. I just thank those of you that are out there in my digital podcast audience on tonight. May God richly bless you, you, and you. Hallelujah. I just thank God for you allowing me into your workspace, allowing me into your living room area, and then being able to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the Old Ship of Zion on your podcast dial. I just thank those of you just so graciously listened in since the birth of this program. And I just thank God for you. And just may God just open up the floodgates of heaven and pour you out blessings that you would not have room enough to receive. For you will have to get rid of some of the items that you already have in order to make room for your blessing. And may God, as I said once again, may God richly bless you. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to go into prayer just momentarily, and we're going to acknowledge those of you that has lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, the last 48 hours, last 24 hours, the last 6 hours, an hour ago, 30 minutes ago, a moment ago. We just want you to know that we just continually to pray for you and with you, that God will restore restoration. And we know what it is, hallelujah, to lose a loved one. And I tell you, my heart just goes out to you. And just may God just lift you with his right hand. And then after lifting you, I want God just to cradle you in the arm of his love, as only he can do. And God can love all the pain away. And I know that he can restore joy back unto you. So we just want you to be encouraged. And God bless you and your family everywhere around the world. God bless you. These and other blessings we ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, now we're going to go on into our intro prayer. When we come across these airways, we always have an intro prayer, and we are acknowledging the right now creator. He's yet alive. He's not in a grave, but he's sitting up in heaven on the right-hand side of his Father. He's not on the left-hand side, but he's on the right-hand side of his Father right now as we speak. As we live and breathe, Jesus is in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. And so we want to acknowledge him in every single iota of our itinerary here on the Old Ship of Zion. So I'm asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer, acknowledging Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our soon coming Messiah. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. Hallelujah. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us together in unity once again around the spectrum, God. For we know that this soil, God, that we continually to tread upon, God, is not our eternal destination. But we know that you have lying in waiting, God, a building that's not made by the hand of man, God, but you are the creator, you are the architect. And we just know that until you crack those clouds, what historical day, because it will definitely be a historical day. I mean, it will be SOS, read all about it. All eyes is going to be on Jesus. All eyes is going to see him. And every knee is going to bow. everything that has breath, I mean on down to the ant, to a beetle, a bug, a worm, a snake, alligator, lizard, turtle, elephant, lion, everything, birds that has breath is going to bow down. So God, until you crack those clouds, one of these historical days, we will continually to come and go as pilgrims, as warriors. Hallelujah, Jesus. In this pilgrim, we're on a pilgrim trail. That's what we're on. We're on a pilgrim trail. And we're trying to tell everybody and anybody about this man that can do anything. And he can save anybody that want to be saved. He can deliver you from crack cocaine. He can deliver you from booze. He can deliver you from a lustful spirit. God can deliver you from anything that has you in bondage. And so I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, to anoint these lips of clay tonight to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know you in the parts of their iniquity, God. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom. To those that are hurting, deep down within the epitome of their souls. Father God, we'll be so mindful to give your name all the glory, honor, and all the praises. These and other blessings we ask in your Son Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the church say amen and amen. All right. Now, I'll be with you 45 minutes on the clock, and we're going to go right now on into a live program already in progression. And I'm just asking you to get your good seat, get your pillow to position your posture, and just get comfortable, get you some chips, some lemonade, tea, soda, ice cream, cake, whatever suits your fancy. Just want you to get everything that you need, get your pencil, your paper, your pad, your iPod, and everything electronically devices that you own. And you would like to go along and read along and write down a lot of these scriptures that I will relate to you on tonight. And we are continually expounding on Jesus, the Lord Christ. That was I seen. And it's Jesus, the Lord Christ. Jesus up close and personal. But I cut it down a little bit so it wouldn't be so lengthy for you, you know. So tonight, our title will be Jesus Up Close and Personal. We'll be talking about Jesus' miracles, and we'll also be talking about the obedience of Jesus to his Father. So we just want you to get comfortable, get you close to the radio digital dial, and may God bless you as we go right on in to our scheduled program right now. All right. Now, we have been talking about the genealogy of Jesus. We talked about his birth. We talked about his childhood. We talked about his adulthood. We talked about his ministry. And so we're going to be just touching a lot of bases on tonight, but we will be talking about the miracles, and we will be talking about the obedience, as I've already stated, of Jesus to his Father. Because we know that it's a lot of us that don't know who Jesus is. And so I just want to give you a highlight of who Jesus is, what he stands for, his purpose, and our purpose for being here on planet Earth. Before it's all said and done, I would have let you in on the reason that you exist here, the reason that you're here, and the purpose that God has for you in your life. And so now, as I first stated, we're going to go right on in to the Word of God. We're just going to dive on in, and we just want God to just help us and guide us along in this program on tonight. Hallelujah. I just feel so good, you know, in spite of whatever we have to go through, you know, God is yet faithful and God is yet sovereign. So we know that God is still on our side. You know, our friends might fail us. Our loved ones might go off and leave us and tell us, you know, don't ever come to my home anymore. You know, don't ever, you know, just stay out of my life, you know. Don't come near me. But God is a God that he will stick by you closer than a mother, closer than a father, closer than a sister or a brother. So I just want you to know tonight, you that might be a widow like myself, I just want you to know that you're not alone, that Jesus is right there with you every minute, every moment, every second, every hour of every day of your life. God is walking right there, toe to toe, neck to neck, right there with you. So you are not alone. All right, hallelujah. Now, Jesus' miracles also reveal much about who he is and the nature of his kingdom. He found the wonder working, or the wonder worker, the man of great compassion and love, the man who came from God, did what his father desired. But here too is revealed the authority and lordship of Jesus himself. His authority over sickness and healing miracles, that's coming out of the law of Matthew 8 and 1 through 4. His authority over the Gentiles, Matthew 8 and 5 through 13. His authority over the rest of creation. His capacity to still the storm, that's coming out of the law of Matthew 8 and 23 through 27. His authority over the spirit world in the way he was able with the word to cast out demons. That scripture reading can be found in the law of Matthew 8 and 28 through 34. Most amazing of all, his authority over life and death. That scripture reading can be found in the law of Matthew 9 and 18 through 26. We find out that such authority no doubt speaks of the divinity of Jesus, but it also demonstrates again that the kingdom of God has come. Those who watched and experienced the miracles were faced with one who was greater than Jonah. That scripture reading can be found in the law of Luke 11 and 32. Hallelujah. And as with the parables, they found themselves needing to respond. Did they see the hand of God in what was being done and respond with faith? Did they see the glory of the Jesus? Hallelujah. Did they realize that the miracles were signs, a word especially used in John's gospel, pointing to the king and the kingdom? Hallelujah. Examples of different responses are seen with virtually all miracles. After the first sign, when the water was turned to wine at the wedding feast in Cana, we read that the sign revealed Jesus' glory and his disciples put their faith in him. That scripture reading can be found in the law of John 2 and 12. Hallelujah. Sometimes faith in Jesus was demonstrated by an individual before a miracle. That scripture reading can be found in Matthew 8 and 5 through 13. Sometime after, that scripture reading is in John 2 and 12. While sometime it didn't seem to be present at all, many regard Jesus as a miracle worker and yet would not look below the surface and learn about Jesus or trust in him. We know we find some of that same thing happening in our world today. People just don't want to trust Jesus. I don't know why they trust everybody else. They trust Michael Jackson, and we know he's deceased, but they still trust him. They trust him enough to listen to his music, play his CDs, you know, and they put their trust in people that can't heal them if they get sick, can't financially supply their need if they run out of money. You know, Michael's not going to give you any money. But we know we serve a man that He said, I can supply all your needs, and I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. So we find that same thing happening in today's world. People are, you know, just not concerned about Jesus and what he can do for you. And all Jesus wants to do is just love on you. Jesus wants to invite himself into your life, into your heart, that heart of yours. That's where he wants to take up resident. And when I mean resident, I mean he wants to live there. But only in a clean temple. God will not, cannot live into a contaminated temple. So it must be clean. Must be rid of cobwebs and everything that's not like God. Hallelujah. But anyway, it's interesting that Jesus' own brother clearly liked the idea that he was a miracle worker. That scripture reading can be found in John 7:3-4. Yet even his own brothers did not believe in him. That scripture reading is coming out of John 7:5. The response to miracles of trust and faith in Christ was, in fact, an acceptance of the kingdom of God in their midst. The miracles were part and parcel of coming of the kingdom. Were the work of the king, the Messiah himself. Hence the revelation of the glory mentioned in John 2:11. Hence the recounting of miracles by John so that people may believe that Jesus is the Christ. I come to let you know tonight, you that are out there in my digital podcast audience on tonight. Buddha is not the Christ. Muhammad is not the Christ. But Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. That scripture reading can be found in the law of John 20:31. When Peter trusted Christ and walked toward him on the water, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We know that the water, that he was in the presence of the Son of God. That scripture reading is coming out of Matthew 14:33. We know the opposite response indicated directly the relationship between miracles and the kingdom. And as Jesus viewed cities such as Chorazin and Bethsaida, in which he had performed so many miracles, he saw that lack of repentance and compared them with Sodom, warning of the horror that awaits them on the judgment day. Hallelujah. And we know that Jesus was indeed sent by the Father, loved by the Father, dependent upon the Father. The gospel revealed that Jesus worked involved, revealing the mind and will of the Father in heaven. Jesus alone perfectly knows the mind of his Father and perfectly does the will of his Father in heaven. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 11:25-27. Also, Mark 1:11, John 5:30, then 10:18 of John. The words he spoke were only the words the Father gave him, and those words were directly linked to the work he did, hallelujah, which also were given for him to do by the Father. Don't you believe that I am, hallelujah, in the Father, and the Father is in me, hallelujah. The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. That scripture reading is coming out of John 14:10. Hallelujah, Jesus. The works and the words Jesus did and spoke were those that fulfilled the Father's purpose. That scripture reading is coming out loud, John 15:15. So much so that the words of Jesus were identified with those of the Father. That scripture reading is coming out loud, John 14:24. Even when he was in Garden of Gethsemane and shortly to be crucified, Jesus was found praying, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. That scripture reading is coming out of law, Matthew 26:39. Jesus, the eternal Son, knew his mission had been given by the Father. And he knew his work was to fulfill that mission that involved him coming to seek and to save you and me. We are those that which was lost
Hallelujah. Luke 19:10. And would lead him to the cross. Hallelujah. And we know that Jesus progressed to the cross. I'm sorry. I'm going a little bit too fast. I missed this for now. And we're going to go on and talk a little bit about Jesus' death. We're just kind of hitting around a little bit. But we're going to touch all bases, hopefully, on tonight. We might conclude this sermon on tonight, but only God knows. But we're going to go on as the Spirit leads us. We know the great work of Jesus on the cross needs to be examined if we are to know still more about who Jesus is. And that's what I have been trying to bring about, is to introduce you to Jesus and who he is and who he was and who he is to come. And so we know that he has done for those who trust in him. Just as the Apostle Paul later said, that we preach Christ crucified. That scripture reading is coming out of law, 1 Corinthians 1:23. It is this work that stands at the heart of a Christian's commitment to and the faith in Jesus. It is on the cross that God's purpose of salvation are achieved, and that we truly find Jesus to be, hallelujah, the Savior. All right, now we'll go back to where I would start to begin moments ago. Jesus progressed to the cross. Jesus revealed much about himself through his teaching, his miraculous work, and his obedience to the Father. However, his earthly ministry and work reveals again and again how he understood the end from the beginning. He had come to save his people from their sin. That scripture reading is coming out of Matthew 1:21. And we know that all people need salvation, or else they would face the wrath of God in judgment on sin. Jesus drew attention on many occasions to the need of forgiveness. He forgave sin with authority, Luke 7:47-48, then Matthew 16:24-25. He warned those who did not respond to the miracles or to his teaching, hallelujah. But that greater of works, the work of salvation, was to happen when he suffered and died on the cross. All that he did, in some way or other, helped him progress toward the cross. Hallelujah. Jesus regarded this mission as the fulfillment of Scripture. That's coming out of law of Mark 9:12, Matthew 26:24, Luke 24:25-27. Gently and again, some opposition, even from his disciples. He began to teach that the one they were beginning to recognize as the Messiah would have to suffer and have to die. That scripture reading is coming out of Mark 8:29-33. And we find out 6 days after Peter's confession of Jesus as the Messiah and Jesus' reference to his suffering, the transfiguration occurred. There Jesus was revealed in his glory, talking to Elijah and Moses. That scripture reading is coming out of law of Mark 9:2-12. Luke reports that the subject of conversation in the presence of Peter, James, and John was Jesus' impending death in Jerusalem. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Luke 9:31. When Jesus knew the time was right according to the Father's will, he steadfast turned to travel to Jerusalem, where he knew trouble was awaiting. Luke 9:51-17-11. He explained this move to his disciples in turn of the fulfillment of Scripture. That's coming out of the law of Luke 18:31-33. When he arrived near Jerusalem again, the deliberate nature of Jesus' mission was seen as he set forth a colt, that's a horse, on which to ride into the city. Luke 19:28-34, and then on down to Matthew 21:5, shows this again to be a fulfillment of Scripture. The act of throwing the money changers and others out of the temple also seemed to have been an action, hallelujah, designed to highlight the difference between the gospel of Christ and the accepted practice of the Jews of that day. Luke could have provoked a reaction more clearly than this. That scripture reading is coming out along Matthew 21:12-17, then 23-27. Jesus' work would only be completed when he hung on the cross. The weight of his bulk, the weight of sin borne on his shoulders. The penalty paid and salvation established. His words, "It is finished," were thus more than acceptance of his death. But they were also an acknowledgement that this part of his work was completed and he had carried through to the end the Father's will. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of John 19:30. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we know that the Romans put Jesus to death by crucifixion. An event which is recorded in all the Gospels. That scripture coming out of the law, Matthew 27:35-37, etc. This extremely unpleasant and painful death was widely used in those days and came after Jesus had been severely beaten and tortured. Scripture reading coming out of the law, Matthew 27:28-31. The initial proceedings against him were taken by the Jews. They were afraid of his power and authority among the people, and also afraid of his teaching, which had challenged their whole approach to God at nearly every point. After the initial trial before the Jewish Sanhedrin, in which the main accusation required the death penalty, was that he had blasphemed. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 26:57-68. Jesus was taken before the Roman court under Pontius Pilate. That's coming out of the law of Matthew 27:11-31. There the charge had changed somewhat, no doubt in order to procure a death penalty. So the charge was that Jesus had claimed to be the king of the Jews and was thus in rebellion against Rome. Jesus did not deny this charge. Eventually, under enormous pressure from the Jewish authorities and the crowd they had brought up in their support, and apparently against Pilate's better judgment, Jesus was condemned to death. It had already been seen that Jesus knew he was to die. The gospel accounts of the crucifixion further emphasize both the voluntary nature of Jesus' death. He went to the cross on his own accord and laid down his own life for his friend. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of John 10:18-13. And of the necessity of his death in God's plan. For example, when Peter drew sword on one of Jesus' assailants, Jesus reminded Peter that had he wanted, he could have called on his heavenly Father to send legions of angels to his defense. But in going to his death, scripture will be fulfilled. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 26:53-54. Also, you can look into the law of John 19:28. Jesus died between two criminals during the lengthy and painful death. Insults were heaped upon him by the watching crowd. That scripture reading coming out of the law of Matthew 27:41-44. Yet Jesus still demonstrated his divine progressiveness and pronouncing forgiveness for one of those criminals at his side who demonstrated repentance. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Luke 23:39-43. Hallelujah. And so we're going to end it right here now because my time has run out. And we're going to change the dimension of the program. We're going to bring you hymns of Zion to just encourage you and uplift your spirit. Until we come across these skyways and highways, you are encouraged to go in God. But this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God. Hallelujah. If you have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you are certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. You can can send your correspondence. Make them attentive, too. Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. So until we come across these skyways and highways, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go, G-O-G-O, in you. Listen up, if you will.
Thank you. wasting, and you don't work that. I know you heard some bull crap, but if you headed on the wrong path, go ahead and turn back. You're never too far to be made. They said you did good, but it's true. I said too far to that, I ain't heard that. Check with my own crew.
Saying now and